Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
This is a Hattrick podcast.
Oh, lovely.
Hi, everyone. Diggory here from the podcast. This is a trigger warning for a discussion later on this episode, a brief one, but a discussion nonetheless about sexual assault. So if that's anything you need help with after listening to this episode, there are resource and support links in the bio of this episode. And we are performing at Latitude Festival this year, taking place in July. Check that out. We'll be on the listening post. We'll send a little microphone around the audience and we'll answer questions there. We'll just have a great bloody time. So do get your tickets to Latitude and let us know if you're going, and then we can maybe hang out after the show. That'd be really cool. Anyway, speaking of the show, on with it. Does that work? Oh dear. Do you remember your sex education? Was it helpful to you? Was it filled with scientific information rather than real, practical advice? I'm Diggory Waite, and this is The Real Sex Education. In this podcast, I'll be interrogating sexual myths, posing sex questions to special guests, and opening up our mailbox to answer your relationship conundrums. In order to do this, though, I need an expert. A sexpert, if you will. But the only sex and relationship therapist I know is my mum. Hello, mum.
Hello, Diggs.
Hello and welcome to The Real Sex Education After School. I'm Diggory Waite and I'm joined as ever by accredited sex and relationship therapist Kate Campbell. Hello, Mum.
Hello, Diggs.
Mum, today we've got a very, very special episode.
Ooh.
Because we haven't got one, but we've got two follow-up pups.
Ooh.
We've had a couple of people. We answered their questions a couple of weeks ago and they've both messaged back in to give us a little update on how things have gone, slash, you know, some thoughts on our advice that we gave them.
That's great.
So they sent their questions in and their follow-ups to our anonymous Google form in the bio of this episode and our social media channels, which you can find everywhere. Well, yeah, well, it's actually, that's not true. We don't have a Facebook page. Does anyone use Facebook anymore?
Oh, we should, shouldn't we?
I know. But I sort of feel like
I've
Facebook
got a Facebook
now,
page.
Should we just send people to that?
Send people to Kate Campbell Relationships.
Kate Campbell Relationships. Check it out. So send your questions to at the RSC Pod on Instagram, TikTok and X.
Formerly known as Twitter.
And Kate Campbell Relationships.
That's it.
On Facebook.
Yeah. No abuse, so, please. Thank you.
No abuse. Keep the abuse. Send the abuse to at Diggory Waite on Instagram, TikTok and X. Formerly known as Twitter. Send the abuse my way. Wonderful. Well, actually, it's funny we say that about abuse. I don't say I'd get abused today, although I do say take something that one of these follow-ups says very personally indeed.
What's that?
So that's, well, we'll find out.
Ooh, that's all I'm excited.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. What's coming up? Love that. Okay, amazing. Let's get to this first one. So this is a follow-up from someone who sent in a question about the etiquette of sexual feedback.
Mm. Yes. I remember that one.
They basically asked, can you, or indeed should you, give feedback on sex to partners? And if so, how do you do it? So they said, can you remember what you said in response to that?
Well, I don't think we had the full story probably, because it sounded a bit kind of, narky. I mean,
what does that mean? What, they're a policeman undercover?
No.
Isn't that what a narc is?
No, it's narcissistic.
Okay. Yeah, but like you say,
arrogant.
Because they did, yeah. They were sort of saying, you know, during sex that they would say things like, you know, they're slower or gentle, all in caps.
No, what they actually said was, they didn't give any detail. They just said, is it okay to give feedback?
You
know, if I don't like the sex with somebody, I kind of give them the feedback and leave, right? Which sounded a bit mean.
I think they were saying that they didn't do that, but maybe they think they should, because they think, am I doing a disservice to their future
partners?
Anyway,
come on, what does this letter say? What's the feedback? I'm excited. I want
to know. So the feedback
is... Did they send pictures of lunch?
None of them did. Ugh. Yeah. Although, well, hang on a minute, because they can't send pictures via the anonymous Google form because you have to then put in your actual email that then we can see.
Oh, right, okay, fair
and
enough.
And then pictures go to our Google Drive and all that sort of stuff. And it becomes all lame. Yeah. So no pictures. But keep sending, if you want to send us a picture of lunch, just DM us on Instagram.
But I also, just describe it. I'd be happy with that.
Well, you're in luck because a lot of people today have described exactly what they've had for their lunch / dinner. Anyway, that's all coming up. Here we go. Here's their response. They said, thank you so much for answering my question. Oh, they're Australian. Should I do an accent?
No.
Okay. Oh, I really want to.
Don't.
I appreciate the humbling sexual feedback and you're bang on. I am pretty confident in bed, so I'll try not to be too authoritarian when it comes to giving instruction. I have something to say about that. Well, to clarify, by objectively bad at sex, I don't mean someone not hitting all my good spots on the first try, but more like things I would hope are universally frowned upon outside of a kink scenario. Things like being unresponsive to requests to slow down or be gentle, being inattentive to physical cues or what I find pleasurable, and not getting consent before trying things they like. Specifically, I copped a surprised, unlubed thumb straight up my arsehole.
Yeah, this is not within a kink scenario, because in a kink scenario, it's got complete consent for all of that. Should do.
Well, it should do. Absolutely. Mm. Exactly. But I do think that is an important distinction. She gives some context on this.
Yeah.
The context, it was a guy I had a handful of dates with, but only slept with once before throwing in the towel. So right again, apparently you said this, that it would be short relationships that she's having. So she said, right again, not the longest relationship ever, but wasn't game to have a crack at that twice. I didn't end up giving feedback about the sex and just said that we weren't as compatible as I'd hoped we'd be. Oh, sorry. For people not watching on YouTube, I've just put two thumbs up to give, what is it, in quotation marks, and all this confetti's come down. There's some weird plug-in on my computer that makes confetti and things come on screen. Anyway,
it doesn't work on mine.
No, you just look like you're doing bunny ears.
Yeah.
She said, we weren't as compatible as I hoped we'd be and hoped he'd got the message. Definitely agree that we all like different things in bed, and I'm not labelling anyone as a shit lay for bringing vindaloo to the table when I'm more of a calmer person. Thanks again. That is relating to your somewhat convoluted metaphor about if someone's a vegetarian but you like meat and something about lasagna.
Is that what
lasagna.
I said? Is that
you said it was a sort of sexual metaphor that I was on board with for a bit and then sort of lost the metaphor after a while.
Okay.
You were like, what if you like veggie sex and then someone prepares you a lasagna that's meat based?
Well, we have context, don't we? Which is a very different thing. And that's
it is. It is. And what do you think about the follow-up?
I mean, I think I would have just said stop and buggered off, really. I think that's too polite to go along with something like that. Because if you're saying slow down and somebody doesn't, then I'd just say, okay, then stop. Not doing it.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, an unlubed. But I think this...
That's horrible.
Yeah, it is horrible.
That's and assault. That's not funny.
No,
that's proper
exactly.
assault. You're entitled. Just because you're in the situation with somebody and you agreed to it earlier, now it's not going the way you want it to, I think get out of it.
This is why, do you remember those apps that they tried to make, which was like the consent app? And basically you'd both log into the consent app, you'd link accounts, and then you'd both say, I'm agreeing to sex with this person.
Yeah, terrible idea.
Terrible idea.
Mm.
Absolutely awful idea. But a lot of people go, well, why? Because then that way you have this show that you both agreed to sex. Well, firstly, you know, there's loads of problems with that. You could log in someone's phone, all that sort of stuff, all that rubbish. But also, that is completely going, well, they've said okay to sex, so there are
so
that
anything
sort of,
goes.
So anything
so I can do
goes.
What I like. That's not the case. And I was listening. I was really horrified. I was listening to a pretty mainstream podcast yesterday about why young people are having less sex. And somebody on that said, oh, it's really, really difficult. You know, I've read things where they tell you to keep checking for consent all the way through. What rubbish.
Wow.
And I was so horrified. I thought this was such terrible advice. Because of course you've got to keep checking. And it doesn't mean stopping everything and saying,
no,
how are we doing? You know, but although I do think how are we doing is not such a bad thing to say.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't, you know, have a little timer every 10 minutes because you've got to be looking at the person you're with. Do they look as if they're into it? Or have they got an expression of pain? Are they screaming stop?
There's some cues that, you know, are pretty obvious. But this is what, and I think this is why this is such a great follow up from this person. You know, because they mention so many things like being unresponsive to requests to slow down or be gentle. So big red flag there. Being Absolutely. Inattentive to physical cues as well for what I find pleasurable, which you can tell when someone looks like they're in pain versus pleasure. I do think you can tell. Sometimes you might be on the boundary.
Yeah,
but...
and some people like pain, and that's okay. But I think these are the kinds of things that you need to check out. Is that, you know, is this okay?
Yeah.
Why is that so difficult?
Do you remember when we sat together during the lockdown?
Oh yeah, washing ordinary
normal
people.
Ordinary people. Different show. Actually, a great song. Check it out. But I can't sing it for. Yeah, I was going to remind you, but of course we'll get done by copyright. Anyway, because I'm going to sing it. Because I'm going to sing it that well that the copyright AI will just be like, "Wow, they're playing the song." but basically, watch that, and that's sometimes a good guide for consent, because people came away from that show and they were like, "Christ, that was sexy that was hot."
Yeah.
And throughout, though, particularly with their first time when they lose their virginity together, they are asking each other, you know, "Are you okay? Is this all right?
Is this all right?" Yeah, you know, absolutely. Sort of, and it was really sexy. So absolutely, I was shocked that this was on...
Yeah, on such a big podcast.
Actually, it was a radio show as well. So, no.
Yeah, so consent is, you know, reversible, and it has to be an ongoing thing. You can't just say, yes, I'm into it, and that's it. And yes, I'm into sex, and then after that, anything goes. And I do think if you're sticking an unlubed thumb up someone's bum, that's a big step. You need to be pretty... Oh, sure that they're going to be okay with that. So maybe, I don't know, ask. And also ask, you don't have to stop and go, "Excuse me, can I do this?" But I mean, actually in that sense, maybe you do. But maybe you could say, "I'd love to do this." And then they can go, maybe not now.
But the first time you're with somebody as well.
Yeah, exactly.
But straight, nothing thing. You don't know. You've got no idea. I mean, no.
Yeah, this is the thing,
and
this is why I think also when we originally answered this question, and they say now, like, you're bang on, because a lot of these relationships we've been talking about aren't really relationships. They're like having sex once or twice. That's why having sex with someone over a longer period, aka, you know, getting in a relationship with them, or, you know, being friends with them or whatever, but you sort of build up that trust.
Of course.
And you sort of learn their body more, and the sex is just better.
It's
so
a different thing, isn't it? I mean, there's nothing wrong with hookups. There's something to be said for it, but you just have to be more careful. You don't know what you're going to be setting off, if you like.
Yeah.
Because people are triggered as well. It's not just that it's physically uncomfortable. There might be emotional stuff going on as well.
I think if you're going to try any of this crazy stuff on a first time, you need to have discussed this way beforehand. You either need to, like, really earn your trust with someone and have sex with them a few times before you start straying too far out of the vanilla zone. Or you need to, like, properly, like, chat about it and like, really build up to this thing. You know, I just don't think you can go in there and have sex once with them. I know they went on a couple of dates, but then just stick a thumb up their ass. That's just not good. Doesn't feel good.
Without
saying anything. So I have to say, completely agree with you. Now with the full context. And, okay, do you think then, do you think she could have gone, "Listen, one of the things I didn't appreciate was this"?
But personally, I'd go a lot further than that. I would have ended the session.
Oh, I agree. But let's say, because her original question was, can I give sexual feedback to people?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Absolutely. Definitely give feedback. I don't think just we're incompatible. I think, mate, you're going to get yourself into really big trouble.
Yeah, and you should be lucky that it's not with me. Mm. I'm going to pop some links in the bio of this episode as well, just in case you need to talk to anyone, because some people might be thinking back now to other things that they've gone through, and they might go, doesn't feel great. We won't dwell too much on it, because it sounds like this person's very confident and it sounds like they're very happy, but that's not great. That is really not great. And you know, I'm sure this guy doesn't mean bad, but I'm seeing the best case scenario here. He needs to fucking know.
I think, yeah, absolutely. He needs to know. And I think the trouble is that you're thinking about this from
a bastard male.
Well, an objective male perspective. I'm thinking of it from a female perspective, where you get an awful lot of women who say, well, I've got myself into this situation. It's my fault.
I have to
go through with it. I can't stop it. I can't say no. I'm really embarrassed about saying anything. And bloody no.
Exactly. No, I agree. I completely agree.
So I'd err much more on the dramatic side about it.
But I'm saying that's why this works. You know, we have both sides of the coin, and you pick and choose from which either one you want. I say cherry pick from both.
Mm.
Well, that actually brings us very nicely on to our next follow up. Here we go.
So
it was more of a cackle.
But Machiavellian, yeah.
Yeah. Explain to people what Machiavellian is.
Oh, a bit evil.
Machiavelli. Is that a Christopher Marlowe thing?
One of them. Something like that.
Some old guy, you know, Shakespeare. Okay, amazing.
Shakespeare's not Marlowe, or is he?
They were around, they're contemporaries. They're around at the same time. Don't mess with me.
He might be. Yeah. Or is he anyway, Francis Bacon?
What?
Well, a lot of people thought Francis Bacon was Shakespeare, didn't they?
Doesn't Francis Bacon do the EE adverts?
What?
Yeah.
No, that's Kevin.
Kevin Bacon. Shit, okay. Hey, listen, we're getting off track. Here we go. Here's another one.
For a change.
We've got another follow-up here, and this is the one from a 16-year-old who recently has become sexually active with their 17-year-old girlfriend.
Their mum
not okay with it and seriously told them off.
Yes.
And they asked us what if they were doing was normal and healthy. So here's their follow-up. They said, hey guys, 16-year-old with the mum here again. Thanks very much for the advice. And TBH, I do agree more with Kate here.
Yes.
I am the eldest, and my mum is not only Catholic, though that only impacts her decision slightly, but she's also the deputy head at a girls' school.
Yeah.
So is defo quite scared for my partner. Since then, we've just resorted to not having any intimacy at my house, and the only thing that my mum ever hears about me and her is going out with her, or us revising together for exams. But every time I suggest me and her staying together, e.g. a sleepover, or her going on holiday with us for a bit, even later on, it's met with the assumption that we just have sex all the time. What's the best way to gain her trust and get her to assume that we're not going to do that? P.S. Sorry that's so long, and thank you so much for answering. You guys are amazing. 16, male, bisexual, London. Yeah, exactly. Thank you so much. Now, just to remind people what you said.
What did I say?
You said, we all talked about this person's mum freaking out about it loads. And you said, go to your mum and give them a hug and say, thanks for your interest, mum. And I was like, that's terrible advice. And look at them now. This is what I mean about taking it personally. I'm fuming.
I suppose, you know, when they say, oh, well, what can I do to make my mum think that we're not going to be having sex? But it sounds like they are having sex. So so it's going to be difficult to convince them. I mean, unless you like, if your mum does not want you to have sex or sleep in the same bedroom under her roof, respect that. Go along with it. It sounds like you found somewhere else for that sort of thing.
Because
if it's freaking her out, you know, just go along with it. I mean, and maybe then she'll say, fine, you can come on this holiday. Talk to her about it. Maybe if your partner's parents are okay with it, maybe they talk to her. Maybe get them together, get them to know one another.
Yeah, potentially.
That's always possible. But I mean, there is something a little bit weird. It sounds a bit like your parents are pimping you out if they're going... If they're having that kind of
if they're meeting up
conversation
and being like,
with one another.
No, but
I mean, you know, if there's concern about her coming on a holiday with you or weekend with you or a sleepover with you, then, you know, maybe it is a good idea for parents to meet up, because quite often they do when kids are going on things together. They do talk about it.
Yeah. And listen, I know that age is, you know, somewhat arbitrary. You know, the idea that in America you can drink at 21, but you can join up to the army at, like, I don't know, 18 latest.
Younger than that.
Exactly. That's what I mean. So it's like you can die for your country way before that, but you can't even drink until 21. So sometimes these boundaries are... But what I would say is when you're 18, maybe these sorts of things can change and you can start to say, well, hey, listen, I'm an adult now. But at this point, it is your mum. You do live under her house.
Yeah.
And maybe there's compromises. Yeah. Mum, I'm going to give us an example. When I was a kiddywink, I think I was 14, 15, 16... When my girlfriend would come around, we'd sleep in different rooms, and that was fine. Later on, we slept in the same room. I had a bunk bed, and we made like a fun little double bed on the floor. And that was cute. But like, that was only when it was all okay and it was all agreed and it was all squared away.
I can remember for one of you getting this room all ready and putting flowers in it and making this lovely room. And I went up to see if this girl wanted anything and she was nowhere to be seen.
Oh, no. Oh, dear. Yeah. Where was she?
Well,
perhaps she'd snuck into the bunk bed.
Well, I'm not sure it was you.
Oh.
I don't know if it was you.
Right.
I can't remember which.
Well, okay. We're running out of candidates then, but that, yeah, for who that could be. But maybe, I don't know. Anyway, Christ. I think that's good advice. I mean, also the advice that you gave was, you were sort of like, listen, you know, it's your mum, you're the eldest. As you know, you guessed that. I don't think they told us this. So the mum's going to be a bit more, you know...
Anxious. I mean, I definitely think she might be concerned about the other parents. You know, allowing something and it being seen as allowing something because it's a boy and the boy is not going to get into trouble.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you know, that you don't think of boys getting into trouble, but girls get into trouble. Everything that happens to them, you know, they can get pregnant, they can get, you know, if they get a sexually transmitted infection or it's a disaster and you know, that those kinds of things. So much more concern about girls and she might be thinking...
Well, and, you know, I don't want to be a dick, but I had two sisters who went to all girls' schools and they both were like, it could be horrible in there. So, and if this person is the deputy head of an all girls' school, they might know that, you know, some, you know, horrible rumours and things fly around.
Oh, yeah, there's all of that as well. Yeah,
there's all of that, you know, and that can really freak people out.
Yeah.
Also, what I would say is something that you said earlier was you're sort of like, well, it sounds like you guys are shagging anyway.
Mm.
All I will say is, I've given this advice on the podcast before, is if your mum is listening...
Hello, mum.
Well, hey mum. If you are listening, I'm afraid that these kids... You know, I was at school once. People were shagging whether you like it or not. Mm. If it was under your roof or not. What was worse is they were shagging in people's gardens. They were shagging around the back of sheds. Like, it's bad, but these young adults are going to do that. And all I would say is, I think that if I'm a parent when I'm older, as much as it pains me, I'd much rather them doing it safe and sober under my roof than in someone's garden.
Yeah, definitely. And I think I missed a trick not putting a condom machine in the bathroom.
Yeah. And I'll be like, Mum, have you got a quid? Yeah. So I'll pay for that. Okay. I think that's good. I mean, I think that's good. I think we've answered that. Let's have a little break. And we've got a couple of questions after that.
Okie doke.
People often ask me what my regular London pub is, but that assumes there's a pub I can easily return to, so please stop asking that.
London Pub Reviews, written by Paul Ewan and featuring Tim Key. A Hattrick podcast.
Did you save my seat? Why? I'm at a completely different pub now, with different seats. Catch up.
Available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Drinking with dignity. Yes, sir. Yes, madam. That's me all over.
Welcome back to the Real Sex Education After School. We've got a quick question here, Mum. This one should be open and shut. It's from Palmer on Spotify. You can send in your questions on Spotify as well. On most of our episodes, you just scroll down. It gives you a little Q&A. You can type whatever you want. And Palmer on Spotify has typed, why do girls like big cock, but not too big?
I don't know if that's true.
Go on.
Well, I mean, do they like big cock, but not too big?
I think that's the...
Well, I mean, too big, because it's not too big, because too big would be painful, presumably.
Yeah, that's why I feel it's pretty open and shut, this. There is such a thing as people talk about the boyfriend dick. Have you heard of this?
No, what's that?
A boyfriend dick is maybe above average size, where it's just like, it's manageable, but it's not massive, because too big hurts. Too small, maybe it's not as good, but this is just a bit above average, and it's perfect.
Right. Well, anyway, it makes no difference, because the vagina is, you know, a baby's head goes through that. A baby goes through that.
Yeah.
So it stretches, doesn't it? And it kind of balloons when you're aroused. some people do have a very large penis, and somebody who hadn't had a baby or, you know, hadn't had much sexual experiences might find that difficult to manage if it was an enormous penis. But if you've got loads of lube, you're aroused, it shouldn't be too much of a problem, really.
Yeah, yeah, it's possible. So keep trying.
Yeah, I mean, you know, maybe. Well, I don't know about that. Don't keep at it. Actually, if it's hurting someone, stop it at once.
Exactly. No, keep going. More lube. Just keep going.
But it's a matter of experimentation, isn't it? You know, I mean, if you've got somebody who's finding it difficult, wait until after they've climaxed once and go again. You know, not until you've climaxed with your cock. Wait until the partner has climaxed,
yeah,
and then go. So I mean, we are talking about straight penis and vagina sex here.
Well, you see, that's the thing.
So if it's
it's why do girls like big cock girls, not too big? Yeah, exactly. Okay. I mean, very very presumptuous.
Mm. Because it could be anal sex, which is where it is, but much much more of a problem. And I would say stop it. if it's someone saying that's too big and it hurts, don't.
Yeah, don't do that, because that can do some serious damage. And long-lasting damage. Mm. But again, and that's why, you know, in that department, we talked about this on the podcast before, I know people personally who were like, I prefer, obviously, for that, I enjoy anal sex, and I prefer a much smaller penis.
Mm.
So, you know, do all girls love big cock, but not too big? Palmer, I'm not sure.
It's not the size, it's what you do with it, isn't it?
Exactly.
Mm. But if she's come once, she should be well lubricated and, you know, go again, but go for some more arousal, keep arousing and go again. And chances are it will be fine. But with consent, discuss it first.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, Palmer, I don't know. You worry me a little bit, man, but there we go. Okay, another question here.
I wonder if that was one of those kind of trick questions or...
It's not a great trick question, is it? Although it was a great question because it got you to, at some point, go, you know, do that with your big cock.
Yeah. Cut that
and
bit.
You know, no, I'm not going to cut that bit. That was the best bit when you were like, yeah, you're just there with your big cock. Anyway, very, very good. Here we go. Last question of the day. Okay. Hiya. I'm a bi 19-year-old woman who is currently doing an undergrad in sociology, but I'm considering doing a sexology / sex therapy degree postgrad, but I can't find a course like this in the UK. Where can you find a course like this? Where did Kate get her degree from? Love your podcast. Kiss.
Well, I didn't get one. Ooh. So I've done a lot of training, and to do what I do, it's not just a degree and then you're off. I mean, it's basically...
A degree.
So I've done lots of different things. So I did a concepts course, and then I did a graduate certificate, and then I did postgraduate diploma, and then I did another postgraduate diploma, and then I did a master's. Oh, and then I've done... Right. So I've done... So there are lots of things. They're mostly level 6, level 7 courses. So that's at degree level or... At master's level, right? So if you want something like that, the nearest to the ones I've done would be the Foundation for Counselling and Relationship Studies at Doncaster College.
Are you writing this down?
Which is where there is a basic counselling course, which is a degree. There's an MSc in psychosexual therapy. There's an MA in relationship therapy, which would set you up for all kinds of relationship therapy. But there are loads and loads of other courses. Now, if you're interested in sex therapy courses in general, the College of Sexual and Relationship Therapy has a list of their accredited courses on its website.
Oh, that's what we're going to link in the bio.
So we can link you to that in the bio. You can have a look at all of them and you can see what you think.
So you can just pick and choose. You don't need to. It's not like a set thing where you've got to do this, that, and the other. You can just pick and choose.
I would say if you want to practice as a psychosexual therapist in the UK, you're going to have less problems. And should anything go wrong, you're more protected.
Fewer problems.
Yeah. You're absolutely right. Well done.
Thank you.
you're going to have, I was going to say less trouble. That's why it.
I'm being addicted.
No, you're not. You're quite right to correct me.
Yeah, but I shouldn't correct you. We all know what you mean.
Yeah, fewer problems if you've done an accredited training, and you know. So when you're dipping and delving into the world of people's sex lives or their relationships. You need to be extremely careful. You always need to be careful with therapy and counselling anyway.
Yeah.
But, you know, people can get very upset. Something might go wrong. Supposing you made their lives worse, supposing they complain about you, you know, if you've had an accredited training, if you have proper supervision, if you go through all the hoops that you need to go through, then you can be sure as sure as you can possibly be that you're doing everything you can to avoid hurting people. And that's the important thing.
Yeah.
But I'm pleased to hear that.
It's cool, man.
Yeah. Brilliant.
The kids, that I love that. That's very cool. Well, yeah, let us know how the journey goes, because you're starting in a good place. You know, listening to a sex therapist on the radio, that's all good. We love that. Well, I think that's some great advice. Like, as I say, we'll link to that big accredited, what did you say the big list was?
With the College of Sexual and Relationship Therapists.
Yeah, you can tell I was listening. That will go in the bio of this episode, so you can have a look at that as well. Wonderful. And then I think that's it for today. Thank you so much again, everyone, for your questions. And thank you so much, Mum, for joining me. It's been fun. I apologise for being a bit of a dick at points today, like correcting your English and stuff like that. But you can understand why my ego was hurt when the 16-year-old said that he agreed more with you. It's almost like you're the professional.
It's weird, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really annoying.
It's been a blast, as ever.
as ever. Thank you so much, everyone. Make sure, as always, you're subscribed or you're following to wherever you're listening or watching this now. I'm giving everyone a little
Woo-hoo!
Wave. Yeah, exactly.
There Be careful waving. You're going to set off balloons or something.
I know, something that... Should we give people my favourite one? This is another excuse to get on the old YouTube. My favourite one. The other day I was playing Dungeons & Dragons with my friends.
Nerd.
rude. And with your big dick. And our characters were entered a nightclub. So I put up the two sort of rock signs, you know, with sort of like the rock signal, you know, like this. And then lasers came behind me on the screen. So check that out on YouTube if you haven't already. Check us out on YouTube and subscribe just there. And leave us a comment on what you think about anything. Maybe a question for another episode.
Lunch. Send us your lunch.
Send us the lunch.
Yeah.
Even if you just need to describe it to us, we'd like to talk about your lunches.
Yeah.
Speaking of lunch.
Time to go.
It's time to go.
Yeah.
We love you very much, guys. And we love this podcast. I really enjoy doing it. It's good fun.
It is good fun.
Yeah, I sort of looked off into the...
He looked off. Yeah, if you're not on YouTube, he's looking into the distance in a wistful way.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm suddenly feeling like, wow. You know what? Sorry. I know we've really... elongated this outro, but there was a point when we were talking about the 16-year-old and his mum, and I was like, we answered a question quite similar to this literally years ago. We've been doing this podcast for years, and on that we had someone being like, oh, I'm worried my mum thinks we're having sex all the time, and you said, oh, tell them we're not having sex all the time, we're playing Minecraft.
Did I?
Yeah, it was so good. You know what? Go on Instagram and then scroll down. And it's one of the early videos we did when we used to record on Zoom. And it's so good. You're like, you could be doing anything. You could be playing
Yeah,
Minecraft.
I don't think I said lie.
Oh, no. No, I mean, so you said...
I said you could be doing anything in your bedroom. You could be playing Minecraft. Yeah.
I love it. I love your reference points. I just... They're wild... They're abstract, and they're my favourite.
Oh, okay.
Anyway,
enough of that. It's lunchtime.
It's lunchtime. See you next time, everyone, for some more real sex education.
Bye.
Bye. You've been listening to The Real Sex Education, which is hosted by Diggory Waite and Kate Campbell. The show is produced by Diggory Waite, and the executive producer is Claire Broughton. The Real Sex Education is a Hattrick podcast.
This podcast is based on the real-life relationship between Diggory Waite and his mother, accredited sex therapist Kate Campbell. The show is therefore inspired by, but otherwise unrelated to, the TV show Sex Education. But yes, Diggory does wish his mother was played by Gillian Anderson.